With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast. I am Matt Verderam alongside Gilberto Manzano. Gilberto in Vegas covering Super Bowl 58 here as we are approaching on Thursday morning, recording this a day later than normal. But it is the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, a rematch of Super Bowl 54, of course, seeing that a few years ago back in Miami. I remember being down there. It was the best week of weather I ever enjoyed in my life. It was 75 and sunny without a breath of wind. It was gorgeous. And then I had to come back to Illinois, and it was like negative 20. With all that said, first of all, Gil, how's Vegas treating
you? You know, pretty good. You know, the weather is not like Miami. It's like maybe like low 50s, high 40s. Maybe you're okay with that, Matt, living in Chicago, but not for me. It's not Las Vegas, but it's a little surreal because I used to work out here in Las Vegas like from 2015 to about 2018. And, you know, at the time, you know, hey, gambling and sports gambling in Las Vegas, all bad. And then slowly but surely, you know, the Raiders and now the Super Bowl. So, you know, pretty cool to be back here and see everything, how the city has grown and now hosting, you know, I think supposedly Matt The Rock might be coming out pretty soon to talk to Pat McAfee. So I'll keep looking around and see if I see The Rock.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for The Rock, who is who really has like carved himself out a niche now at these Super Bowls where he just introduces these teams. This is a really interesting game. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we didn't talk last week. I was down at the Senior Bowl and we just couldn't figure out the time. But we had the conference title games, which obviously at this point are old news. We don't need to rehash them. But Kansas City goes into Baltimore, wins that game 17-10. Defensive struggle. The Niners fall behind 24-7 at half to the Lions. And then it's a combination of the Niners playing great in the second half and the Lions doing everything imaginable to lose. Let's start here. With these two teams, knowing what we know, how do you feel about both of these teams, just in a general sense here as we get ready for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Matt, you know, I feel like just from talking to people here in Las Vegas, you know, the tide has shifted. You know, I bet you a couple of weeks ago the Super Bowl would have started. It's like all 49ers, heavy 49ers, and it's like, you know what, those Chiefs, they just find a way. They have the experience. You know, they know how to execute, good coaching. They have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce turn back the clock, and maybe having that Week 18 rest did wonders for him. And obviously, Travis Kelce getting a lot of Taylor Swift questions, as you can imagine, Matt. But, you know, they're picking them, but they're actually the underdog here in Las Vegas with the point spread there. I want to say it's like +2.5 for the Chiefs. So, right. You know, if you want to make some money, maybe go to the Chiefs side, or maybe it's, you know, something that they're missing. You never know with these spreads here. But, yeah, that's kind of been the talk of the town. But so the other side for the 49ers, I wonder, you know, is Brock Purdy ready to face that defense? Trent McDuffie, Legarius Sneed, we ranked them pretty high in our player rankings for the Super Bowl, right? 106 players. So, you know, Brock Purdy is a factor there. But what he did against Detroit, coming back 24-7, what he did against the Packers, coming back. So that's the narrative here. You know, can Brock Purdy do it again? And obviously with the Chiefs, it's all about experience.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's an interesting kind of jumping off point with this game. So, you know, a lot of people are calling it a Super Bowl rematch, even though the game was, in reality, it was, you know, 4 years ago, right? And so, and 5 seasons ago. So really, there aren't that many players who played on both those teams in significant ways who are still here. Obviously, Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones for the Chiefs. There are a few others as well. For the Niners, there's a few more. You know, the Debos and Juszczyk and so on and so forth. I mean, some of the defensive linemen in Armstead and Bosa, and of course, Warner and Greenlaw. And Charvarius Ward now has played on both sides of this thing. He played in 2019 for the Chiefs. Now his lineup is an all-pro for the Niners. But I don't see it as a rematch. I see it as two very different teams, albeit, you know, some of those stars holding over the same coaches. I am interested in how the experience factor in this game matters. Now, the Niners have had experience, even with this group, in going deep in the playoffs. They've been to the NFC title game for the last 5 years. It's not like they're you know, some team that came from going 7-10 all the way to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, of course, have been here four of the past five seasons. They've won a couple of them, lost the one to Tom Brady and the Bucs. It's been a weird week in some ways with these. I mean, you know, the Niners, most of the storylines coming out of the Niners have been how they don't like the practice field. That's been a problem for them. You know, we heard Jed York and Bosa talking about holding penalties and stuff like that coming into the week. That is something that's somewhat curious to me. Charvarius Ward talked about he wants to turn up the first few days of the week and party in Vegas before they settle in. That's just a little bit of a weird vibe going into a Super Bowl. All that stuff going on. It doesn't mean that they're going to win or lose, but it just seems like it's a little bit of an odd way to enter the week.
Yeah, maybe it's kind of a thing not to be so tense, you know, not to overthink it. You know, I don't know why Chavez Ward would say that, but I guess, you know, that could be maybe a factor there. And you know what? It seems like a lot of the 49er players are laid back and they're going off of the, you know, like Fred Warner or Debo Samuel. I think Debo Samuel is the one that sat at the podium on opening night. Like, you know, I was a young player. I did not know what I was getting myself into. Same thing with Fred Warner, but we're here. We're ready. You know, guys like Brandon Ayuk weren't there. Obviously, Brock Purdy wasn't there. So, like you mentioned, it's a different team. So, the whole rematch thing is maybe a little overblown. But there are a lot of players from that roster who are very young and coming back here again. But then again, you know, Patrick Mahomes, that was his first Super Bowl too. So, maybe right. The excuses are just flying out here for the 49ers. But it's a good approach, I guess. You know, try to avoid, you know, the whole head games and the pressure by saying, hey, we're going to party. Maybe they're not partying. I don't know. They're not the Miami Dolphins in Miami, so who knows what they're doing with the 49ers here in Las Vegas.
Yeah. I think it's a very intriguing game to shift over to kind of the matchup side of this because, you know, we always got to fall into these traps of, like, which team has better running backs? Obviously, in this game, it's 49ers. Which team has better quarterback? Obviously, in this game, it's Kansas City. But, like, they don't match up against each other. When Christian McCaffrey's on the field, he's not facing Isaiah Pacheco. Like, he's facing the Chiefs defense. He's facing their front seven. I find this game very interesting from the standpoint of when the Niners' offense is on the field, you have Kyle Shanahan against Steve Spagnuolo. And they've matched up twice in the time that they've been in their current positions. The Chiefs have won both games. The Niners' offense has played decently in those games. They scored 20 and 23 points. But their statistics have been pretty good. Now, of course, neither one of those games, Purdy was there. And McCaffrey was there for one of them. It was his first game ever with the 49ers, but he played a somewhat limited role. So take what you will out of those first two games. Could be an indication of something, could be nothing. But I think right now, you're talking about Shanahan, like he's a top three offensive mind in the league, probably with Andy Reid, maybe like Sean McVay. And then defensively, Spagnuolo might be the best defensive coordinator in the league. So you have this great matchup of these two minds with both sides of the ball, the Niners offense and the Chiefs defense, loaded with talent. On the other side of the ball, you have Andy Reid, who's obviously one of the greatest coaches of his generation, great offensive mind, paired up against Steve Wilks. And Wilks is a really fascinating guy because a lot of people, including myself, thought he should have gotten that Carolina job after last year when he did a hell of a job with that team down the stretch. Didn't get it. Goes to San Francisco. Takes over for D'Amico Ryans. And that defense this year I would characterize as good. They are like 15th against the pass overall. In the playoffs, they've struggled against the run mightily. They've given up some points. Of course, they found ways to win. That, to me, is the matchup. I think the Niners offense, Chiefs defense is going to be a great battle, but I think both sides are going to win their battles in that. I do. I just think they're both so well coached and so talented. The Niners defense has to be able to win some of these battles in this game. Like, that, to me, is going to be the big question. Like, can the Niners defensively, without Hufanga, can they do enough in this game to hold Mahomes down, to confuse and confound Reed's scheme. If they can't, this could be a long night. If they can, then they've obviously got every shot in the world of walking away with a Super Bowl trophy for the sixth time in the franchise's history.
Yeah, you know, I guess the big question with the 49ers defense is Chase Young. You know, could Chase Young, you know, set the edge? Can he go rush the passer? They traded a third-round pick for this guy. And,
right,
you know, he had a brutal game against the Detroit Lions, and obviously the defense wasn't great against the Packers either. So, you know, I'm not saying it's one guy, but, you know, they also don't have a lot of depth there. Well, they do have star players, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, and Jabon Hargrave, but after that, it gets very thin. So you got to play him maybe with Randy Gregory, maybe instead of being a third-down passer, pass rusher, you go and play him. I don't know. What does he have left in the tank? So I think you got a great point there, Matt, because we saw in that Ravens game with the Chiefs, like once, you know, Kelce and Mahomes set the tone and they were going down the field and saying, you know what, you're gonna have to adjust to our first punch here of Baltimore Ravens defense, and they did. But after that, it was kind of too late because the Chiefs defense settled in and shut down Lamar Jackson. So what could that be the similar thing here with Mahomes and Kelce set the pace? And then it's like, okay, Brock Purdy, what do you got? Kyle Shanahan, what do you got? Can you do it again against a very, you know, loaded Chiefs defense? So I'm with you in terms of the, you know, 49ers offense against the Chiefs defense. That's going to be, you know, high-powered elite units going at it. But it's going to come down part of the 49ers defense. What can you do? Because also, too, if they don't get pressure, we know about the secondary. They're pretty weak. You know, they got some talent, obviously, with Tre'Davious Ward and Justin Reed. But after that, a lot of question marks. They do have the benefit of having the best linebacker duo in Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. They could cover. They could rush the pass or they could stop the run. So, you know, it's obviously they're very talented, but we've seen all year in the playoffs that this 49er defense sometimes they have some bad days. And but luckily for them, they have a high-powered offense where they can make up that ground. But as you know, Matt, the only problem this time around, they're playing the Chiefs defense.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think of all the things in this game, we're going to break down here for a little bit. I think the biggest thing for the 49ers early, they cannot get in a big hole this game. They cannot. They will lose. If they get into a big hole with Mahomes on the other side of the field and Spags calling this game, they are not coming back. Like, that is – the other part of that is one of the biggest reasons I feel that way. They have to be able to run the ball, and if they can't run the ball because they're trying to throw the ball 40 times with Purdy, it's not good. Like, that's – but this is a very unique matchup in the sense that if you're the 49ers most of this season, you have seen a lot of shell coverage and a lot of zone because teams just cannot match up with their skill position players. The Chiefs are one of the few teams, they are going to play a lot of man coverage in this game. They're going to put McDuffie on the outside. They're going to put Snead on the outside. They're going to play bump and run physical coverage. They're going to sit there and say, look, both those guys can play on the perimeter. Both those guys can play in the slot. And one thing that I've seen multiple people point out, Ben Solak of The Ringer being one of them, I've seen this in other places as well, the Niners love to sit in their condensed formations. They get in the two back sets, and they get very, very tight inside the numbers. The one positive of that for the Niners is you can kind of disguise what you're doing, and you can force teams to adjust on the fly. The downside of that is Joe Montana walks by you. The downside of that is
pretty cool.
It makes it really easy for the Chiefs to blitz with the defensive backs. Everything's closer to the quarterback. The Chiefs have been blitz heavy. Nobody blitzes more with their corners and safeties than the Chiefs, and nobody has gotten a higher percentage of pressure, if I can say that. The Niners have struggled mightily this year, statistically speaking, off of slot blitzes. The Chiefs are going to do it. They're going to do it a lot. And so that's part of the chess match here. Like, if the Niners can get ahead or just be even, they can kind of dictate the terms a little bit and you can play a little bit more, hey, look, you know what, we're willing to take some more chances because of the way we're playing. And if we have to punt, okay, we're right there. If you're not in that situation and you're down 13-3, at, you know, 20 minutes into the game, 14-3, whatever it is, then I think it becomes much more of, hey, look, Purdy's got to throw, and the Chiefs aren't going to, they're not going to care as much about McCaffrey. It's just going to be, hey, if he runs it here or there, fine, let him. We're going to pin our ears back and go get him. And then it becomes harder to play out of those condensed formations because those blitzes are getting there faster and faster. So I think it's imperative for the Niners. They don't have to be up by a bunch, but they can't be down by a bunch in this game. That would be the one way I see this game getting out of hand. is if they just if they fall behind early and then the McCaffrey portion of this becomes mitigated.
Yeah, you know, I wonder how healthy Deebo Samuel is now. Two weeks removed from the NFC title game. He wasn't himself, but he was out there. He was playing. He didn't have a big impact. And I love the way Kyle Shanahan, like you mentioned, the two-back sets. He used Kyle Juszczyk in the backfield as a passer, a blocker, whatever it is. That's kind of the beauty of having a fullback like that. He's not really a fullback. But, you know, having Kyle Juszczyk step up in the NFC title game with the Lions was beneficial, but he's not Deebo Samuel. You have Deebo Samuel out there with Christian McCaffrey. You know, kind of the that's where the guessing game starts, right? If you want to blitz, well, maybe Kyle Shanahan has something nice for you, you know, in terms of, you know, Deebo handoff or jet sweep or Christian McCaffrey coming out of the backfield. So that's the beauty of the 49ers offense. They have so many versatile playmakers, including Kyle Juszczyk. George Kittle could do the same thing. Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel. The list goes on and on. But then again, that's a very good Chiefs defense. But they do get aggressive, like you mentioned, with Spags. And maybe can they catch him off guard? Can they build up, lead off for that? But, hey, you're going to play with fire. We're going to burn you back. So I'm just – all the thing that you laid out, all the matchups, the head games, the disguises, the pre-snap motions, like, I'm just very excited about it. Like, I'm not saying I'm this X's and O's guy, but I can't wait to see it. I'm going to try to, you know, decipher it and digest it, but that's just the beauty about the Super Bowl, and that's why, you know, the best defense and the best offense, and I'll say it, I think the Chiefs defense is better than the Ravens defense, so it's the best on best here, and we are on Las Vegas. I hate to use a cliche heavyweight showdown, but it is.
Yeah. No, it is. It absolutely is. These have been the two best teams over the last handful of years. I mean, nobody's won more than these two teams. The Niners have been the most consistent team in the NFC over the last half decade. The Chiefs have obviously been the most consistent team in the AFC over the last half decade, in the NFL over the last half decade. So give me the case. We'll do it for each team for both of us. If the Niners are going to win this game, what does the game look like? Make the case for the 49ers winning this game.
I think for the 49ers, it's a heavy dosage of Christian McCaffrey. I want to see a Christian McCaffrey game. Yeah, I know he had the game-winning score against the Packers, you know, and he did his job with the Lions too, but I just want to see a heavy, you know, run scheme here. And it's just not obviously it's going to be a traditional, you know, bell cow. Just give us vintage Christian McCaffrey. You know, he's never been to the Super Bowl, we were actually, you know, talking over here with Raheem Mostert not too long ago, and I was surprised that he said that Christian McCaffrey reached out to Mostert. They never played together with the 49ers, but they're friends. And Mostert played in that 2019 Super Bowl. Hey, what can you say for tips? Obviously, he has his dad, Ed McCaffrey. So that's kind of cool, the whole Shanahan-McCaffrey storyline here. But I just want to see a monster game from Christian McCaffrey. They spent, you know, a lot to get him, acquire him, and a bunch of guys on this roster, you know, through a mega signing or a mega trade. Like, it's now or never. And I think, you know, was it Connor Orr that wrote the column? Like, hey, this is one of the best teams in the NFL history. It's now or never. You better make it happen or you're going to go down with that label of the team that never got it done. So I just want to see, you know, I love Deebo. I love Kittle. I love Brandon Ayuk. But their best offensive playmaker is Christian McCaffrey. And I think we ranked them third overall in our power rankings. I keep going back to that. By the way, Matt, that was fun to do because there were so many elite players and all pros on that list that we did there. But and maybe number two, Trent Williams for the 49ers. And I forget, Matt, did you ask me just 49ers or just Chiefs? Chiefs
just
too?
Make the case for the 49ers. Make the case for the 49ers. They're going to win the game. What's it look like?
Yeah, and going off that, Trent Williams, too, a guy who kind of gets overlooked, too. But if he's healthy, and to just see what he did for so long with Washington and doing the same thing here with San Francisco for, what, 3-4 years now? So he's just so vital for the Shanahan kind of scheme, the zone scheme, in terms of being a pass protector, setting the lanes there for the running game. So, you know, we always talk about who's going to be the MVP on the 49ers, and it's like, oh, it's not Brock Purdy because you have so many good players. Who cares right now? It's a Super Bowl. You have a lot of loaded players. You invested heavily. If you're John Lynch, it's now or never. Yeah, you're seeing Chase Young struggle out there. You swung for him. But now, you never know about these windows here in the NFL. You came back. You made it happen after 2019. Do it now. And I think for me, it's definitely going to start with Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. No, I agree. Right? McCaffrey's got to be part of this. So I went back and I looked. Because the best team the Niners have played this year, in my opinion, I think most people would agree, is Baltimore. That Christmas night game. Now, look, I'm not saying that that's indicative of the Niners. The Niners had 5 turnovers that night. Okay, it was Purdy's the worst game of his career. But I do think it is indicative in this sense. That is a defense that they played that night that is a great defense. That it can get pressure on the quarterback. It's not afraid to play man. Like, that just is a very aggressive, heat-seeking type of defense, which is the way Kansas City plays. McCaffrey in that game rushed 14 times. Now, they fell behind in this game, okay? They rushed 14 times for 103 yards. 7.4 yards in attempt, and he had a touchdown. They obviously, they would have liked to give him the ball a little bit more. K- Kittle and Ayuk had huge games. Kittle went for 7 and 126. Ayuk went for 6 and 113. Debo had 47 yards, so-so game. McCaffrey, 6 catches, 28 yards. Purdy in the game was 18 of 32, 255, not a bad average. Problem was he got sacked twice, threw 4 picks. His QBR was 7 points. Okay. So why am I bringing this all up? My point is, I think for the Niners to win this game, to win the game, it's not enough for them to just have McCaffrey rush for over 100 yards. I think in this football game, they have to be able to also get chunk plays in the passing game, which against Baltimore, they did. They did do that. Kittle lit up Baltimore. Ayuk had a big game. Now, some of it was at the end when they were down 21 points, and in fact, all that stuff factors in, okay? But to me, they've got to be able to do those things. Now, that night they lost because they had 5 turnovers. I do not think the Niners are going to have 5 turnovers in this game. But I think that is indicative of the way they have to play. Another game that, listen, the Bengals ended up falling apart because of injury, but in the game that they played against each other, the Bengals defensively are not good all year long, but the Bengals are certainly good offensively. And I'm going to look at that side of the ball. So Burrow in that game in San Francisco went 28 of 32 for 283 yards and 3 touchdowns. Chase at 100 yards even and a touch. Higgins at 69 yards. They spread the ball around. They went to Boyd. They went to Irv Smith Jr., so on and so forth. And they ran the ball 5 yards carry, 134 yards. Mixon leading the way. Burrow actually ran for 43 yards in that game. All this is brought up, again, to make the point that if I am San Francisco, my thought is I need to get chunk plays out of the passing game beyond what McCaffrey gives me. Because we saw the Bills run the ball all over the Chiefs, but they could not get chunk plays in the game. They only scored 24 points. I don't think that's enough to win. The other side of it is on defense with the Niners, they're going to have to get to Mahomes. If they don't get to Mahomes, and Mahomes is sitting there looking at a spot drop zone defense all game long, that's a wrap. Like, he's going to torch them if that happens. So in that game, by the way, Burrow was sacked 3 times, and they hit him 8 times. Like, that's pretty good. It's not bad. The problem was, in the end, he was able to just complete every throw he got off. I mean, he had one less touchdown than he had in completions in the game. The Niners had 460 yards in that game, but again, they had 3 turnovers. So for me, it comes down to 3 things. They got to get to Mahomes. They've got to win the turnover battle. And they've got to be able to get some chunk plays in the passing game. Nick Wright on FS1 brought up a great stat there, Dave. In the last 5 years with the Chiefs, with Mahomes, when he starts, when they are spotless in the turnover battle, and they don't turn the ball over, they're 25-1. The Niners have to turn them over. So to me, those are the 3 things.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, because you can't have 5 turnovers again for the 49ers. So you have a clean takeaway sheet there, and then forcing the Chiefs into doing something like that. But I don't know. It's easier said than done, and we've seen this 49er defense, you know, struggle a lot. And just to see the way that, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Kelsey, I don't want to say turn it on in the postseason. They just know what to do in the moment. And maybe you could talk about this more, Matt, but it still feels like they're the same offense from the regular season. Yeah, MBS is catching the ball, you know, this time around. Yeah, Kadarius Toney's not around to kind of mess it up. And, you know, same thing with Sky Moore. But Sky Moore might play. I don't know. You probably know that one a little better than me. But, you know, just being simple, less is more, relying on Kelsey and Mahomes to do their thing and running the ball. I love watching Isaiah Pacheco run, by the way. I'm sure you do, too. You're just aggressive. You know, everybody makes fun of his running style, but I like it. But running the football, having a balanced attack and leaning on your defense, sometimes it's not that difficult. And you know, I like that approach there. And they seem to not turn over the ball. It's going to be very difficult. But you know what? How about, I talked about Christian McCaffrey. How about Nick Bosa having a monster game? This guy got paid a lot of money, too. And he stepped up in the NFC title game. I think he had 2 sacks against the Lions. I think he didn't get to Jordan Love in the divisional game, but he got 5 quarterback hits. So he's stepping up there. You got to get some kind of pressure. Obviously, Mahomes could do his tricks and away from the pocket and still find whoever's out there. But just seeing the way this Chiefs offense just said, you know what, less is more. We know how to execute. We're not going to mess things up. We're not going to give you any chances for takeaways. That's been kind of the key to win these games, you know, in Buffalo, in Baltimore, too.
Yeah, no question.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Let's go to the other side of the coin. If you are making a case, the Chiefs win. How does it happen? What does it look like for the Chiefs to win their third Super Bowl here in 5 years?
Yeah, you know, I know I went on the 49ers offense, and I guess hopefully I'm not taking yourself too much here, but I think it does come down to that a lot, you know, the Chiefs defense and the 49ers offense. And, you know, I just want to see this Chiefs defense. They're great and all and everything. But what if it is a Kyle Shanahan day, you know, just, you know, dialing up plays for Deebo and Christian McCaffrey? And yeah, you got McDuffie, you got Snead, you got Justin, you got Justin Reed out there. So, you know, when it comes to these guys going off, do you have enough defensive playmakers to keep tabs on everybody? Obviously, I love Chris Jones, George Karloftis. You know, you got Nick Bolton. The more names I say, maybe they do have it. But if they're really clicking, and Ayuk is having a monster game, and you can't keep tabs on Deebo, like, what do you do to counter that? Like, obviously, we haven't seen that yet in the postseason, or even I can't remember the last time, man, because obviously that Baltimore game on Christmas, when were they really clicking all cylinders and not having a comeback? Where they are on their best, where they start the season, what, scoring 30 points the first 6 weeks of the season? You know, what can this defense do to keep up with the matchups and the versatility? You know, obviously, if you start blitzing and you get burned, how do you adjust to that? And we haven't seen that too much. I think, obviously, was the last time, maybe the Packers game where this Chiefs defense really struggled. There hasn't been too many moments, but what if it does come to that? What do you do? Do you have enough dudes, playmakers, or defensively to keep up with all the offensive playmakers who, you know, they're all pro players, pro bowlers, elite playmakers, whatever it is? Do they have enough there? And that's the thing that really intrigues me the most, because both of them have very good playmakers on both sides.
Yeah. Look, I think that's well said. So for me, you know, I said it the other way for the Niners, and I'm not trying to middle it, but I think it's just the truth. The Chiefs in this game, if they don't turn the ball over, they probably win. I mean, just based on who they've been over the years, they probably win. Now, that being said, they've turned the ball over a ton this year. Hasn't been as bad in the playoffs. They didn't turn over against Baltimore. They had one turnover in each of the first two playoff games. They were one of the teams worst in the league in giveaways during the regular season, something they've cleaned up a little bit here. So that's number one. But I think, look, beyond the turnover stuff and the penalties and everything else, for me, they don't even have to stop McCaffrey in this game, but they do have to limit him on early downs. They can't let it always be second and five, second and four. That's when the Niners can kill you. If the Chiefs can hold them down to, you know, second and eight, second and seven, I think the Chiefs are fine with that. They can live in that world. They can't live in the second and fours and second and fives all the time. So I do think that is a big factor in the game. It's early down running for the Niners. What is McCaffrey's yards per attempt on first down? If it's second and nine and he runs for 5 yards, that's a lot less damaging than if he does it on first down. So I think that's something to keep in mind. Another thing to keep in mind in this game is the pressure from Kansas City, whether it comes from a four-man rush, which they've gotten a lot of pressure from that this season with Karlaftis and Chris Jones, or if we're talking about Spags' notorious blitz packages. Like, do the Niners handle that well? They did not handle it a year ago when the Chiefs played each other. Now, that was Garoppolo. That was a different game. They were sacked 5 times in that game. The Niners have to be able to handle it in this football game. Have to. And my question with that is, how do they handle it? Like, I went back and watched the tape against Detroit, and they use Kittle a lot to chip, which I would expect that they'll do some of that here as well. Kittle's a great blocker. Is there a world where if the Chiefs are blitzing, they force McCaffrey to stay in and block? That's one way. You don't have to cover him. He's got to stay in and block somebody. The Chiefs don't always just bring 5 on blitzes. They bring 6 as much as anybody in football outside of Brian Flores. They're not afraid to play cover 0 behind it. That, I think, is a huge point in this game. Can the Niners handle it up front? You mentioned Trent Williams earlier, who is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is awesome, awesome left tackle. The rest of that line is not great. And the right side in particular, the Chiefs are going to go after. I've watched every stitch of them this year. I guarantee you they're going to put Chris Jones on Colton McKivitz on third down. And they're going to make sure he gets singled up. And they're going to put him inside close enough that it's going to be hard to chip him. That was one thing I thought Detroit made a mistake of watching that game. Hutchinson likes to line up really wide on the line. He loves that wide 9 stance. Makes it really easy to chip you. The Chiefs are not going to do that with Chris Jones. They are going to have him tighter inside. I could even see them doing things where they crash Karlaftis inside and run a loop over it so they make sure they get him one-on-one without a chip. That, to me, is going to be huge. On third down, they're going to put Jones and Karlaftis on the right side. How is that handled by San Francisco? And then when the Chiefs have the ball, I mentioned it earlier, they have to get to Mahomes. They have to. And it cannot just be, hey, we made a move a little bit. He's so good moving around, throwing off platform, throwing out of structure. They need to hit him. They need to get him to the ground. They need to sack him 3+ times. Like, getting him to move is not enough. They need to get him down. Because if he's got time against that secondary and in that pretty, I don't want to say static, but a somewhat predictable zone defense where you're playing a lot of cover 3, we saw this last year with the Eagles, where the Eagles sat in their zone defenses all night because that's what they do. And that Eagles defense had 70 sacks. And they had Bradbury and Slay on the outside. And the Chiefs just roasted them all night long. I mean, Mahomes just, not even a ton of yards. They had the ball that much, but he was killing them with efficiency. The Niners have to get home. If they can't do that, if they can't do those things, I think the Chiefs walk away not only winning, but significantly. So if the Niners can't execute in those areas.
Yeah, you know, with the 49ers and Brock Purdy, I feel like Brock Purdy won't have a clean pocket. And he might make a mistake or two. But the thing that really impressed me with Brock Purdy in terms of the playoffs with Packers and the Lions game, when he had some pressure, he used his legs. Mobility, kind of extending plays. And he got like 40-something yards against the Detroit Lions. You know, he had more than Lamar Jackson did in the championship weekend. So he keeps doing that. And Matt, I think on one of the first drives or whatever second drive it was against the Lions, he took a massive hit from Aleel McNeil, but he still completed the pass, you know, to the middle there. So if you're just extending plays and you might take a couple hits there, you know, just lob it up to your guys, Deebo, Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk, you know, that pass to Ayuk there wasn't the best pass, but it hit the guy off the helmet and Ayuk did the rest, concentration. So you have so many great players. Just, you know, he's been tough. He's been poised, He's been rattled at times early, but he's been adjusted, and that's been so impressive for me to see. You know, people want to talk about game manager or whatever, game changer. Well, he's been doing both in the postseason, so he's obviously going to get disrupted at times because you are facing Chris Jones on a very dominant Chiefs defense. So when that chaos occurs, can you do it again, Brock Purdy? And I feel confident in him because he's done it twice now, but obviously the level of competition keeps increasing when it comes to the Chiefs there, but what he did in the NFC title game, I think for me should be okay. But I think maybe in the other side might be the bigger issue because the 49ers have invested heavily on that defensive front. And again, I mentioned with McCaffrey, you like Javon Hargrave. I guess he's not the same dude from the Eagles, but you still got Eric Armstead. You still got Nick Bosa. I don't know what happens with Chase Young or Randy Gregory, but you still got the two linebackers and Greenlaw and Fred Warner. Bring that pressure to Mahomes, but we know Mahomes when it comes to chaos and extending plays. That's his bread and butter. He knows how to do that. But does he have enough weapons this time around? Obviously, as we all know about Kelce, can MVS do it again? When the ball comes his way, can you catch it?
Right.
You know, can you have that balanced attack with Isaiah Pacheco? You know, can somebody else step up besides, you know, maybe an MVS and obviously and Kelce? We'll see if Sky Moore does anything. Do they even play Kadarius Toney? He's been out here, you know, making the rounds, expecting to play. So we'll see about that. But again, I like the less is more approach for the Chiefs.
All right, let's get into it. Super Bowl 58 on SISportsbook.com. The Chiefs are getting 1.5, and a lot of books getting 2. So if you're looking to bet the Chiefs, you might want to check out SISportsbook.com for all your needs, whether it be the line, the under, over, the props, all that stuff. I'll let you go. You're in Vegas. Who do you have? Who do you have winning Super Bowl 58? Give me a score.
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned, a lot of people talking about the Chiefs' experience and having Patrick Mahomes, and I don't want that to sway me. I think the 49ers, you know, being back here for a second time, they are different players. I get that, different quarterback, and you know, it's a different roster. But it's now or never for the 49ers, and I get the pressure is more on their side. Same thing with Kyle Shanahan, like you know, Andy Reid's playing for his legacy. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes, like they got 2 rings. You get 3. That's some pretty nice company there, but Shanahan has to get it done. McCaffrey has to get it done. All these talented players, you never know what do they break up, cap space, age, whatever it is. I think they're going to come through second time around. I think we're going to see the 49ers offense from the early part of the year. I think the extra rest with Deebo Samuel is going to pay off. And going again to the elite playmakers, I think Nick Bosa also will have a monster game. So everything that we saw from this offense and defense earlier in the year, being a juggernaut, we all ranked them number one for the first 6 weeks. I think we see that here. I'm not saying they're going to dominate the Chiefs. They're very, you know, tough defensively. But if you're going off of the Baltimore game and you get 17 points or whatever it is, 20 points, that might not be enough. There goes T.J. Watt, by the way. Pretty cool to see that. Dominant playmaker, by the way. But I'm going with the 49ers. And, you know, I think I'll go a high-scoring affair. It's going to be – the thing about these playoffs games so far, Matt, it's not – they haven't been going the way like we – obviously predictions are one thing, but the way the game plays out has been so different and unique. And that's what I enjoy watching about these games. I don't know what's going to happen. We could all spend our time talking about it. But for me, I'll keep it simple. I'll go 49ers 33-30 against the Chiefs.
Okay. It would be very high scoring, well over the total. Look, everyone who's listened to this all year long knows I'm a Chiefs fan. But I through most of this year, said I just can't see them winning the Super Bowl. They've been a disaster offensively. And I thought really that changed for them right at the end of the season when they played Cincinnati. They found a way to win. They were still kicking a whole bunch of field goals. They found a way to move the ball. And then obviously in the playoffs, it's kind of taken wing here, the last game being a defensive battle with Baltimore. I never feel very strongly about a team blowing out another team. I feel strongly the Chiefs are going to handle the Niners in this game. I do. I think Spagnuolo against Purdy is a mismatch. I think that offensively, I don't think the Niners are going to get a ton of pressure on Mahomes. I think that Bosa is incredible. I think they're going to double him basically every play and say, go ahead, Chase Young. Go ahead, Eric Armstead, beat us. I just think the matchup of the Niners playing a predictable zone against Mahomes in this game is a problem. So maybe I'll eat this, but I'm gonna pick the Chiefs to win 34-7. I don't think the game's that close.
Wow.
I think it's close for a half. I think it's close for the first half. I think it's like 17-14 at halftime. And then the Chiefs should pull away. I think the Niners are a terrific team. I just think it's a bad matchup. I also think the Niners defensively have not been good for about a month and a half now. And against Mahomes, that's a problem. When they have played top defenses, I went back and looked at the top 12 defenses in DVOA per my buddy Aaron Schatz. The Niners are 3-3 against those defenses. The Chiefs are 6-2. I just look. Some of it's gut. Some of it is Mahomes and Spags. And I think they're going to have a big game on Sunday. I just do. And when they've played the Niners and they've played this coaching staff, they've handled them. So that's where I sit. I'll go Chiefs 34, Niners 17. Close game early. Chiefs pull away in the second half.
Hey, nothing wrong with disagreement. I feel like throughout the whole year we keep agreeing on too many games.
I know.
So that's pretty cool to go off of that. And yeah, you just never know. You know, it might be a good game, might be a bad game. And I feel like, you know, the last 20 years, a lot of these Super Bowls have been very entertaining. So you never know when a dud is going to come around. But it is Las Vegas. Maybe it's going to be exciting. We'll see what happens. But yeah, good to see we're on different sides here.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the minority in terms of thinking it's going to be a multi-screen. Oh, I guess a three-score game. I am definitely in that minority. I watched them all year, and they were so disjointed in the last couple of games. I mean, that Ravens game, that game could have been 24-27-7 at halftime. I mean, they were dominant early, and then they held on. We'll see. We'll see. I for the record, I vacillated between 27-17 and 34-17. I said, you know what the hell? I might as well just go big at this point, right? So, all right, well, hey, go enjoy Vegas. Enjoy the game. I'll be watching from my office. The old man's out and drove out to watch the game. So that'll be fun. Usually I'm in your spot. I'm sitting there watching the game from the stadium, which is cool, and I'm not complaining about it. But I'm also not complaining about sitting home eating pizza and watching the game.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope you enjoy it. Good luck, man. And I want to say also, by the way, thank you for everybody who's listened throughout the entire course of the year. Of course, this is not the last podcast. We still have plenty more coming as the year rolls along. Football never stops. The second the game's over, we're 2 weeks in the franchise tag window. So there's plenty to still talk about. But thank you for everybody for listening all season long. Appreciate each and every one of you. And of course, Connor and Albert will be back early next week, and then we'll be back. And then it's like a couple weeks, and we'll be at the combine. So it's not far away.
Yeah, it's all quick. There's never really an off season. I feel like the only time is like what, June, July.
Yeah, but like June and like half July.
And that's about it. But it's been a fun season, Matt. I've been enjoying myself doing this podcast for you weekly here on MMQB. So, sometimes you feel like nobody's listening. Then you see comments, people saying, "Hey, I love your work, you and Matt and Gil." So I do appreciate seeing that, and I like talking to you about football once a week.
Absolutely, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure, my friend. All right. Go enjoy Vegas. And for everybody listening out there, if you're a Niners fan, if you're a Chiefs fan, if you're a Niners fan, you probably hate me right now. It's okay. If you're a Niners fan, good luck this weekend. This is a great game. This should be a lot of fun. You have a great team. You're a Chiefs fan. You have a great team. And you're playing for a dynasty. So there's a lot on the line for both sides. It should be a great one. For Gilberto Manzano, I am Matt Verderam. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the MMQB Podcast. And we'll talk to you again next week.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.